Yesterday, we heard about marching season in Northern Ireland, a chance for Protestant unionists who've long held the reins of power to publicly demonstrate their support for the crown and antagonize Catholic Republicans that want to reunite Ireland. But as we've learned, Brexit has complicated that history. Marcher Ian McLaughlin told NPR that any effort to reunite the North with the Republic of Ireland would fail.
I don't believe that this island will ever be reunited peacefully. The trajectory of peace, in my opinion, has stalled.
Well, our next guest writes that Northern Ireland, which celebrates its 100th anniversary this year, may not last another decade. Journalist Susan McKay is based in Northern Ireland. Susan, welcome.
Thank you.
Yesterday, when we spoke with our correspondent in Belfast, Frank Langfitt, he told us that the crowds at marching season, that they were more subdued this year, and that by his accounts, many of the marchers were older. And I wonder what you make of that and what happens to their movement when that generation is gone.
This is a very good question. To some extent, the crowds were smaller at the 12th of July parades because of COVID. But the reality is the Protestant community is aging, and the Orange Order and the other loyal order organisations are not seeing young people joining up in significant numbers. One of the problems for unionism and for the loyal orders is that their social conservatism no longer appeals to particularly younger generations of people who have a much more global outlook. You know, their imaginations are being informed by a much wider range of sources than they would have been in the past. So, you know, you've got a lot of young people in Northern Ireland who are preoccupied with climate justice and with climate change, and they're preoccupied by feminism as an international movement, things like that. And they're not interested in a kind of narrow conservative politics which excludes Catholics, as the Orange Order does, and which is based on traditional family values, which is anti-LGBTQ+, anti-same-sex marriage, anti-abortion. You know, the young people just don't find that attractive. So that's a problem for unionism, is that it's no longer even appealing to Protestants.
And so you've written an article, an essay in the New York Times with a provocative headline. You say, it is the end of Northern Ireland. Do you think the terms are really that stark?
I think the terms very much are that stark, because Northern Ireland, this was supposed to be the centenary of Northern Ireland. It was supposed to be a big time of celebration for unionists. But instead, what they're facing is the reality that Brexit has seriously disrupted the peace process in Northern Ireland. There's a great deal of anxiety in all communities, but particularly among unionists, about the fact that we are now potentially facing into, sometime in the next few years, a poll on the future constitutional status of Northern Ireland. And we could see a vote of a majority of people for a united Ireland at some stage over the next number of years. This has come about because of a number of factors. One of them is Brexit, which has been very destabilising. The other is demographics. We're likely looking at a census outcome this year which will show that there is a slight Catholic majority, and it's a growing Catholic majority because of the ageing Protestant population.
And I think it's important that we go back and sketch out quickly some of the history between these two groups. In the latter half of the 20th century, the troubles between Protestant unionists and Catholic nationalists dominated people's lives. Nearly 4,000 people died in sectarian fighting. Then in 1998, the Good Friday Agreement brought peace. You mentioned now Brexit. How much has Brexit really threatened all of that work that was done?
It has enormously undermined the Good Friday Agreement. The Good Friday Agreement relied upon the support of the United States, the European Union, and the British and Irish governments. The European Union poured massive amounts of peace funding into Northern Ireland, for example, after the Good Friday Agreement in 1998. But since Britain has left Europe, the problem is that unionists in Northern Ireland kind of held out for a very hard Brexit, basically because they wanted a hard border back in Ireland. And one of the achievements of the Good Friday Agreement was to soften the border in Ireland. But obviously now that Northern Ireland is out of the European Union, there is going to have to be a border. So instead of it being across the island of Ireland, which the EU would not tolerate, and which indeed the US said it wouldn't tolerate either, The UK has drawn a new trade border down the Irish Sea, which is to an extent separating the United Kingdom from Northern Ireland, creating a sort of sense of it being a place apart.
Has that created resentment?
Yeah, unionists are very unhappy about this, and that is creating disturbance. On the other hand, a lot of people in Northern Ireland are thinking, well, first of all, we didn't want Brexit. A majority of people in Northern Ireland voted to remain in the European Union. But quite a lot of people, I think, are now thinking, well, if we became unified with the Republic of Ireland, we could rejoin the European Union, which might not be such a bad thing. It's something which is actively wanted by the nationalist community. But I found when I was researching my book that quite a lot of Protestants would not be terribly averse to the prospect either.
Really? Well, you know, it's not as if this is a surprise, right? I mean, I was in Northern Ireland in 2018 reporting on Brexit and the fears at the time that the people thought it would be destabilizing. So in retrospect, do you think that the Brexiteers knew in their hearts that these tensions could return with Brexit, but just supported it anyways?
I think that the British government has shown a tremendous indifference to Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland has always fancied itself, according to its unionist majority, as being the most loyal part of the United Kingdom. And it's very staunchly British. I mean, you often hear people say from who come to visit Northern Ireland from Britain that they're amazed by the number of Union flags, Union Jack flags that are flying everywhere. It probably speaks more of insecurity than anything else. We had an opinion poll in the United Kingdom just before the Brexit vote, which showed that British Conservative voters would rather lose both Scotland and Northern Ireland from the United Kingdom than give up on Brexit. So the commitment of the British government to Northern Ireland is not equal. It's not a mutually happy relationship. Northern Ireland is much keener to be part of the United Kingdom than the United Kingdom is to have Northern Ireland. So that's also causing a lot of disturbance and resentment among unionists.
So tell me, what would reunification look like if you think it is at all possible, considering the deep history of conflict between these two sides?
I think everybody accepts that it would be a long process. It's not something that could easily be achieved. And I think if we learned anything from Brexit, it was that just sudden referendums on big, complicated issues are not a good idea. Because people in the Republic don't really think very much about Northern Ireland on the whole, except people living in the border region. And the Irish government would need to become much more multicultural, much more open. The health and education services in the Republic are not really fit for purpose and would have to change a great deal. In Northern Ireland, we have the National Health Service, which is a system which allows people to, for example, just go to their doctor for a free appointment. There's no system like that in the Republic. One of the problems about it is that unionists are steadfastly refusing even to talk about it, you know, as if even talking about it would be a betrayal of their unionism and their beliefs and their identity.
And their identity. And to that point, what would become of the United Kingdom if Ireland was reunified, and if Scotland got another shot at independence and moved forward on that?
Well, I think it's become very apparent that Brexit really was an English nationalist project. They didn't care. I mean, recently the Welsh First Secretary said that he believed that the Union was breaking up. We know that there's a very strong movement in Scotland for independence. So I think that what we're seeing is the outcome of a very, very narrow policy by the British Conservative government to have an independent England. And it has been quite careless of Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland.
Susan McKay is author of the recent book Northern Protestants on Shifting Ground. Her essay, The End of Northern Ireland, in the New York Times. We'll link you to it at hereandnow.org. Susan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.